All right, Tim, it's that Friday time. It's a Friday time. The weather's getting more beautiful and sunnier.
Yeah, in fact, you were just out fishing a couple nights ago.
I was. We do the night bite up on Lake Geneva, and we caught zilch.
Night bite was not productive.
Yeah, my buddy hooked his finger, actually, and he pulled the hook out. Funny thing is, it doesn't really bleed much, but he said his finger was numb, and then the next morning, his finger was numb. I'm like, you might want to go check that out.
Just in case, there could be an infection, and might want to get a tetanus shot or something like that.
But it was fun. It was fun. There was a storm that whipped through there the night before, so I'm attributing the lack of fish to the front that had moved through. And actually, Lake Geneva is a very clear lake, pristine lake. You wouldn't think that with all the traffic, boat traffic and stuff, but it is. You can see the bottom in most places, you know.
How deep a lake is that?
It can get pretty deep, 200 feet deep,
yeah,
in certain spots, but it was just all murky and there was just debris floating around, and I don't know. I think that was
I've been up there multiple times. We've been up there together multiple times. I mean, for those that don't know, Lake Geneva is a community south central part of Wisconsin. Very, very, very old wealth, I would say, around that lake. There's a lot of old mansions.
Well, they've all been rehabbed. So, yeah. And one thing we noticed, my buddy's like, you need a turret on your house. If you don't have a turret, it's like, look at these houses.
A moat and a turret.
Yeah. Well, we did a project up there, remember, 8 years ago that had a turret.
Well, and a 20-car garage and a
bowling alley.
Yeah, it was pretty. In fact, you just posted something about that in a recent newsletter.
Yep. It was an anniversary of almost 10 years ago today. Well, when was that? March? I don't know. But
yeah, I mean, it was Dana Meekham's home. Meekham Auto Auctions. What an incredible home.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful. But that whole area, Lake Geneva's plenty of old wealth and new wealth in that area.
I think we told the story on the podcast, but when we got there, the general contractor was like, you can't record today. And we're like, well, what do you mean? We've planned this for months. We have our film crew from Pennsylvania's flown in, and like we're here. And he's like, well, and I said, we just want to be in the basement of the mechanical room. We're not shooting anything, because they were pulling out trees, Tim.
I think they're well past getting in trouble, but yeah, we ran the drone over the house, and there's plenty of film footage, and you're like, yep, that's where there were a couple trees, but those trees are no longer there.
Because there's a view of the lake and there's a walking path. So they decided to like pull out these trees, and they're like, well, you're not going to be filming outside. No. And then the opening scene is a drone, and we're standing on the dock that goes over the house. And there it is. So
yeah,
that
was one of those houses you walk in because it was about 60-70% complete. It was all inside work, and just the sheer beautiful banner work on the railing for the, just incredible. I mean, they had like 7 Viking or a Wolf sub freezer. Yeah. I mean, just incredible, incredible house.
Yeah, and when we went there early, they were kind of digging out the bowling alley, and then when we went there toward the end, they're like, oh, we had to scrap the bowling alley due to budget restrictions. I'm like, budget? What freaking budget is there on this house?
Yeah, it was like a $100,000 pearl inlay garage floor for all of the million-dollar cars that he owned.
And a pool on top of that garage, remember that? A
pool on top of the garage, which I had never seen before. That was pretty unique.
Yeah. All right.
Not Lake Geneva.
Yeah. So, but you know, we get on this podcast. We've been doing it since COVID, almost 4 years now. And we talk about the trades. We talk about plumbing, how great of it is, of industry it is. What a great career you can make coming out of high school. it's not one of those fallback jobs. It's a career. I mean, people are, you know, coming out of high school, planning their apprenticeship and things like that, going to school. And it's a pathway that's going to lead to bigger and better things.
Well, we just talked to the folks from Blue Recruit earlier in the week, and they had talked about the Iowa Skilled Trades Day that they attended. We couldn't because we had previous commitments. But, you know, when we were there last year, there was around roughly 5,000 students. And when we talked to the Blue Recruit folks that were there this year, they were saying that there were over 7,000. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of opportunity where you think, all right, maybe this is the new toolbox generation, maybe, or tool belt generation, whatever you want to call it, where kids are starting to look at opportunities outside of just college.
Yeah. So I decided for this particular podcast to go on the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics website, which
good luck finding stuff.
It's not the easiest to navigate, but I pulled up some numbers on the employment of plumbers, pipe fitters, and steam fitters, wages, things like that. I'm sure you probably could guess. I'm going to ask you the states that are the highest employed plumbers and pipe fitters. What do you think the top five would be?
I'm going to guess Northeast, so New York, Pennsylvania, maybe Illinois.
So Illinois is fifth. New York is fourth.
Okay. Pennsylvania?
Nope.
New Jersey?
Nope. Think of big states, Tim.
Texas?
That's second.
California?
First.
All right. Well, I was thinking East Coast, and I was thinking California and Texas. So, okay. What am I missing? There's somebody. Florida?
Yeah, Florida.
Okay.
Florida.
So population basis. Big population bases.
Yeah. So now we have the annual mean wage of plumbers.
74,000.
Huh?
74,000.
Well, the highest, I'm just going to, the highest state is New Jersey.
Once again, back to like high dense population.
Yeah, 97,000.
And strong unions.
97,000. Massachusetts, 89,000. Illinois, 88,000. Oregon, 85,000. New York, 84,000.
Wow. Oregon's a shocker.
Yeah. And so the highest concentration, it says metropolitan areas with the highest employment levels, kind of going along with those states. New York, Newark is number one. LA is number two. Long Beach.
Yeah.
Chicago, Naperville, Elgin, third. Boston, Cambridge, Nashua, New Hampshire, fourth. And Houston, the Woodland Sugarland, fifth. Yeah.
And those are big areas. I mean, hell, the Houston DMA, the Houston Woodland Sugarland area is probably as big as the entire state of Rhode Island.
Yeah. Next, we have the location quotient of plumbers. It's metropolitan.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah. Metropolitan areas with the highest concentration of jobs and location quotients. Blech, what is that? Anyway, Kokomo, Indiana, Tim.
Really? What does that entail? What's the
I think it's
makeup
just,
of that?
It's just the employment per
so thousand.
Yeah, it's 12.
So
employment
Kokomo's
per
1,000
jobs, 12.
Okay, Kokomo's number one.
Yeah, and the mean wage there is 77,000.
That's a good living. I mean, I've been to Kokomo many times in my life. I had friends there when I was growing up as a little kid, and we'd go visit them a couple times a year. That's a very, what I would consider a blue-collar community, and $77,000 a year, that's pretty good living.
Didn't the Beach Boys talk about Kokomo? That's a different Kokomo? Did.
I don't think that's the Kokomo they were referring to, though.
Okay, Bremerton, Silverdale, Washington, St. Cloud, Minnesota, Gulfport, Biloxi,
Mississippi.
Great Falls, Montana. Look at that.
Wow. Gulfport and Biloxi, that's casino heaven down there.
Oh, Tim, yeah.
Port of that area. Bremerton. I mean, that's a nice area up in Washington.
And so now we're going to get into the top paying metropolitan areas. So San Jose, Sunnyvale, Santa Clara at $99,000.
You have to. It's expensive to live there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I mean, that's the heart of, you know, Cupertino's there. So you've got all the tech companies there. So I can't imagine living there making less than $200,000 a year.
Chicago, San Francisco, Boston.
Okay. I mean, Chicago, I'm surprised Philadelphia's not on there. So are you saying that it's a good time to get in the trades?
I think it's always a good time to get into the trades, but we always talk about it, but I'm not sure we dive deep into the numbers of why. Yeah, I bring this up because, you know, you mentioned the Iowa skilled trades. Last year when we were there, there were people, kids that are there that just want a day off and they're just walking around. And we're like, well, what trade are you looking at? There's plumbing, there's, you know, electrician over there, there's
welding.
Yeah, all this stuff. And the guy's like, I don't know, I'm just kind of walking around. And we're like, did you know that you could make such and such out of, you know, 4 years of paid apprenticeship? And their eyes light up and they're like, I had no idea, you know? And it almost puts like that thought in their mind, like, okay, this is something that's pretty cool. And listen, I went to school for 10 years. I joke about that off and on. And I don't know if people are going to do that anymore, or they're going to go to a traditional university and get out and be like, what am I going to do? Like, what does this degree do for me? You know, back in the day, it did. Now, is it the same? Does it hold the same weight? As opposed to having a defined career path of going to a trade school and working for a company, doing your apprenticeship. And then when you're out, you're making like 50, 60 grand, you know?
If not more, depending on where you're at. I mean, once again, when we were talking to the Blue Recruit folks, they talked about, you know, kind of the breakdown of students that they talked to at the Iowa Trades event. And welding was number one, HVAC was number two, and plumbing was number three. And that doesn't surprise me. Welders make damn good money, and there's jobs all over the country for them. And there's lots of different applications that they can work in. So, you know, that doesn't surprise me. But yeah, I mean, it's good money. I mentioned this on multiple times on this podcast. I grew up in a plumbing contracting family. My grandfather started a company in, I want to say, 47. After he had been in the war, he got out of the war. He worked for a local, got his apprenticeship and journeyman license and worked for like 3 or 4 years. After the war, he had been doing it before the war too, but then he started his own company, and that grew it into about a 10 truck. I want to say about a 10 truck, plumbing contracting business here in Central Illinois. And then sold that to a competitor back in like around 98 or 99. But my grandfather was very successful. I mean, I could have easily went into the family trade. I chose not to. I had different aspirations growing up, but I found my way back into the industry somehow, some way. And, you know, it's nice to think back to what if, you know, that whole what if I just went to work for my grandfather, could we have kept the business and, you know, generated even more income and made it grow? I don't know, but, you know, the industry was good to my grandfather and my mother and my family. And, certainly even to this day, it's kind of cool.
Let me ask you this. We're approaching, I know you want to talk about this, approaching season 5 of the American Plumber Story.
Absolutely.
Which is it's a great resource, actually. And it's a great, you know, spotlight on the trades, the plumbing trades. And, you know, it's a YouTube series.
Mm-hmm.
Would your grandfather have said, yeah, let's do the American Plumber Stories on him?
Well, I think to like the episodes we focused on last year, where there were a lot of, most of the episodes were about people that had opportunities. They were young. They were the next generation. It wouldn't have been me that would have been that. It would have been my nephews or this next generation, the 30 and under crowd, that would have really been focused on that. But I don't know if my grand, if he were alive today, he'd probably laugh at the whole aspect. But for me, I think it's a great way to shine a light. I know season five, they're all over the world. Mm-hmm. They're in Australia, they're in Canada and Alaska and Maui, Hawaii. So I'm looking forward to season five, but just looking back at season four of American Plumber Stories, mm-hmm. They told the stories of that next, of this generation, that 20 to 30, that first, you know, that generation out of high school in the last 5 or 6 years. So, it's a great industry to be in, regardless if you're working in HVAC or plumbing, or as we said, welding, just the building trades in general.
It's evident when you go to these trade shows and more, contractors are going to like AHR and Wet Show and stuff, and just the community and the family that it is, you know, it's become. And I think a lot of it is social media based, how people meet each other and communicate now. But
well, we've got the opportunity to meet somebody before you actually meet them with social media. You feel like, I mean, by the time I finally met John Thompson, like 2 years after I'd gotten to know him through social media, it was like he was family already. And I feel that way about a lot of the people we interact with, across the country and in some places across the world. I mean,
yes, sir. I was going to pull some stats out about heat pumps, but I don't know. It's not a good, it's not rosy.
Well,
I don't know how to explain it, but the heat pumps, I get this email from AHRI, the Air Conditioning, Heating and Refrigeration Institute. It's actually, you know, a lot of work goes into it. They put it out monthly on the shipment of heating and cooling equipment, and the March edition just came via email today. And like it says, water heaters are up 4.2% over this time last year. And that's a good thing, right? And then you go down, I scroll down to heat pumps, and it's like down.
Yeah.
You know, it says the year to date total for heat pump shipments decreased 8.9%, down 883,924, down from 970,000 units shipped during the same period in 2023. So, you know, we talked a little
saturation, bit beforehand. Saturated the market, and it sounds like everybody.
That and the cost and materials and supply. You know, I don't know. I can't put my finger on exactly what it is, but you would think with this push to electrification, all the buzz about all this heat pump stuff, and it's actually going down. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah. I saw a report earlier this morning, and it was showing me a graph of non-residential construction in the last from 2018 to 2024 year to date. This was through the end of April. And non-residential construction across the U.S., these are U.S. numbers, have doubled in the last 6 years. Was that like $650 billion? Now it's at $1.2 trillion of building this year. So, I mean, we know with the investment, there's lots of money out there being invested in commercial and you know, across the board non-residential, because the residential market's still pretty soft because of high interest rates and everything. But hopefully, you know, some of these big projects that we're hearing about come on board, come online in the next year and a half. They're going to be pretty cool.
All right, Tim. Well, Mother's Day this weekend.
Yep.
To all the moms out there.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day to all them. You've got Carol coming over, and of course, Monica.
Yep.
Doing big party for Monica and your mother, Carol.
I think so. My wife, she's walking across the stage tonight, Tim. Graduation.
Congratulations, Monica, on graduation.
So that'll be fun. That'll be fun. So
that's a huge step. I mean, it's hard to do it when you're young. I mean, imagine doing it with two kids and a husband and a knucklehead husband like you.
Yeah, I say three kids. So
well, enjoy the graduation tonight, all the moms out there. Happy Mother's Day. Be safe. I'm actually driving out to Virginia today with my wife to go visit her mother. this weekend. So we'll be spending time out in Virginia all next week with the in-laws.
All right. Peace out.
Peace.